The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
Footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Happy birthday to my beautiful wife, Melissa, who turns 23 today, which makes me a dirty old man.
The women behind the man. Thanks, Mel, for keeping JC neat and tidy and happy and smiling.
Thanks for allowing me to work for nothing.
It is Footy Prime. BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime. And we got a full show, all six of us in attendance, despite all of us being extremely busy over the weekend. We're going to get to all the various projects, from the NSL kicking off to CPL to that Bundesliga by-minute match, which is incredible. We've got lots to get to. I do want to mention, though, a little teaser here, and we'll mention it again at the end of the show. I say this now because I will probably forget by the end of the show. But this Friday, make sure you tune in. And across our socials, we may have a little special something dropping available to the masses, which might be able to support us financially, which is why we're doing it. So that's Friday. We'll tease it all week.
Yeah.
It's very exciting, though.
Also, well,
the other thing is Friday is is May 1st, just so everyone understands what day we're talking about.
May the 1st be with you.
That's right.
All right.
But also, anyway, listen, I wanted to point something out, James, if I may. Sorry.
Yes, please.
You'd said NSL was kicking off, and that applies to anything that's starting, right? You say like, oh, our new cooking show is kicking off. But with anything related to football, soccer, it's literally because you kick the ball. You see? So kicking off. That's a great way to kick off the show with a soccer-related show. Kicking it off. Back to you, James.
Well, it's weird.
It was so weird.
It's weird.
It really was.
Kicking off actually came from from Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh.
Obviously.
You don't kick anything off, so it's odd that way. Anyway, listen, where do we start today? How about we start with our favorite topic, injuries?
That's what we'll tackle first.
Oh, I see what you did there.
That hurt.
Good news, I think, overall. But then, of course, with every bit of good news with Jesse Marsh, there's always one punch in the gut as well. So as much as we got Alistair Johnston back on the pitch this weekend, and Stefan Eustachio back with LAFC, we got good news, we think, about Moise Bembido being very close to return. We then hear about Richie Larea out for a month with a thigh injury. Now, listen, Jason Hernandez, Robin Fraser don't seem too concerned about it. They think he'll be back, you know, before the World Cup, play some games, hopefully. But the reason I'm a bit concerned is just because it's Richie and he's had thigh injuries. Listen, whether it's hamstring or not, we don't know. Thigh is thigh, right? But when I hear this, I do get a little bit concerned because in the past he's had injuries to his upper leg that have resulted in months out of action. Am I just concerned here because I'm being burned from the past? Or is it a definite, legitimate fear here?
I understand. I could understand your feelings on that, but I don't know. I'm not too worried about Richie. At least if in the next month he's not going to pick up some other injury.
There is
that's
that.
That's the silver lining, yeah.
If you're going to get hurt now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, you know, if it's a month out, it's better than now and 3 months out because you're fucked.
I think we're grasping at straws a little bit here because we've been so beaten down with all of this injury news in the last couple of months with our men's national team, the backline decimated, Eustachio out. players coming back. Like Schaff has started recent games for LAFC, but I mean, there's you can almost make a starting 11 of injured players for a men's national team. So that renewed depth that we keep talking about, or not even renewed, just brand new, comparing Qatar to this coming World Cup. This is a team that all of a sudden has potential and has competition at each position. And the injury loss, do you guys hear an echo?
No.
Okay. No. The injury kind of, it's almost a systemic issue. Right? And you need players in form. You need them to be playing competitive minutes. You need them to be relied upon by their clubs, valued. And a lot of these players are, which is great. Mm-hmm. This is kind of, we're in a new place with the men's national team. But with the load in the legs and reliance upon them at club comes injury risk. And I think Canada right now is just reeling from it. Like Jesse Marsh, that technical staff, but the fans as well. So yes, you see some guys coming back, especially across the back line where we desperately need them to come back. But to see somebody like Richie, who has been the guy for the men's national team in the absence of some of these superstars, it hurts, man. Like you said, gut punch, I think, Sharms. Like I kind of like felt it, you know, like, you know, when you get smoked and then it's like slow motion and you see like the skin folds kind of move and like the face.
Like Homer with the cannon.
Yeah. Like the reverberations of it. It's in slow motion and it hurts. So I think he's going to be okay. But I think we're at a point now where we're already feeling it. Okay, I'm going to stop talking now.
No, there's... Sorry, I'm just going to read...
I think it was your movement that got me.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Jimmy. I'm just going to read key injuries and absences as of April 15th and tell you where we are. Derek Cornelius, still, where are we at with him?
He's training, we understand, with the first team, but he's not getting any action.
Okay, Luc de Fougeral sustained a partial ankle ligament. Where's Luc?
I don't believe he played this week. Oh, actually, no, he may play this weekend.
Luc, where are you?
Is he got German bars or somewhere? I think Luc actually did. Let me just check here. I think he played this weekend. Let me just check here. Yes, he played on Friday. Played okay. 45, played a half. So that's good news.
Fonzie back, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Good for the weekend.
Theo Bear was nursing an injury. Do we know what's going on with Theo?
Isn't he playing again now?
He's clawing his way back.
Dude. Ishmael. Ishmael Kone.
Theo Bear did. He played 35 minutes.
Perfect.
Against Zurich in a 3-0 win for Lausanne.
I'll say.
That's good news.
Ishmael Kone suffered a muscular injury in early April. It's Kone. Where's Kone? He's fine.
That was just cramp, it turns out.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. A little rougher. Ralph Prizo. We know where Ralph is. He suffered a hammy, and he's on the bench right now, right? He's not coming back anytime soon.
He's on the training bench.
Yeah.
All right. Training table. Yeah.
Joel Waterman, I don't know. It has him as injured as of April 15th, but I'm not sure what his update is.
Joel Waterman, he's fine.
Okay, good. I like when you say
but he
that.
He did pick up an injury a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but okay. He played a full 90 against Sporting KC this weekend.
You're awesome today, Sharms. Promise David, we know where he is, right? He's in Belgium working hard to get better for the World Cup.
Didn't someone post a Promise thing on the dark web this weekend?
Yeah, he was with Thomas Rosinski.
With Thomas.
Doing Belgium TV.
Yeah.
Wow. Was he really? I haven't seen that yet. That's amazing.
Yeah. I did share it on the dark web, James Sharman.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I was too busy sitting there staring at the other feed, waiting for some responses to whether they can make the show today or not. Sorry, I was staring at that feed, not the other feed.
I can make it.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy.
Good to know, Jimmy.
I'll just put a thumbs up right there. Okay, good. Okay.
sorry, Sam Adekupe, nurse that we know, he's...
Almost, you know, June is a year for him.
Yeah, wow. And we know he's been, Asa Rahman has been telling us that he is moving and training, but not up to level yet. Zoran Basong, nursing an injury as of April 15th. I'm not sure where that sits, though.
Yeah, I don't think he played again this weekend for KC. I think he's still out. It's been a really poor start to the season, injury-wise, for him.
Yep. Alfie Jones.
That's the strange one. Not a strange one, a real concerning one. It was supposed to be 2 months. In December, they said he had surgery, had 2 months, and it's been four now.
Jeez.
Sounds like he's not back. Only four games left, I think, in the championship for Barra.
I want to talk to Dubs about the...
Only one or two games left.
Yeah. When injuries don't go according on the rehab, what it actually means. Because I think there's, you know, well, we'll talk about that in a sec. Jacob Schaffelberg back, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that we're waiting for is Moise Bambito. Whether or not he'll make it back, because I heard over the weekend, things were looking better, or at Claude least Puel moving in the right manager. Direction.
Claude Puel, his manager, and he's said that. Was it next couple of weeks, Jimmy? I think it was. Next couple of weeks, he should be back on the pitch, which is great news.
Mm.
Obviously, I mean, he is, we could debate this some other time, but you know, he's probably the most important player now. We discussed this before, Eustachio, David. He's in that conversation for being the most.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
You didn't even mention Fonzie, which is interesting.
No, I did.
Yeah. Not you, Dan Wong.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, so he's most important player.
Yeah.
Well, they've proven that.
Wow, so defensive, Wonger.
No, it's because I remember reading Fonzie. I'm not the sharpest tool, but...
No, it's true, because you said Fonzie, and I went, hey.
No, but it's interesting, the Dubs, right? And that's not to dismiss how important Fonzie is. Of course, he's interesting, but it's interesting. He is interesting. Important. Sure. But the fact that they've shown they can play really good football without him suggests that, as important as he is, there are others in that team that are more important. Not saying that they're better. He's probably still the best. If he is the best player on the field, doesn't make him the most important.
But the pace of Bambito, center back, down that spine is, I think, the more critical piece that Canada needs back. But it loops us back to Davies. And of course, the team does very well when in his absence. But the person who is deployed there when he's not around is Richie. So it kind of circles us back to where we left off on this pod, or where we kicked things off talking about Richie's injury. So it doesn't look good. This team, even though there is like a glimmer of hope with all these players moving off that injured reserve or that injury list and hopefully getting a little bit of minutes as seasons come to a close, you're getting down to it now where that window is too small, almost an opportunity to come back. Like, you'll get back, but you're not playing minutes so that you can have your feet firmly underneath you once you come into camp for those two friendlies prior to June 12th.
Yeah, I think what we saw the last window demonstrated how important Bambito is with his pace, because they're beaten by pace on more than one occasion. I guess as far as Craig's concerned, though, as long as everyone else gets a little injury between now and the World Cup, we'll be happy. We don't want them healthy. Right, Craig.
There's some important games coming up for, I mean, I look at somebody like Laren at Southampton. They're going to be stuck in this really tough playoff situation, more than likely. I'm not sure they can actually directly go up still or not, but
I think they can still.
I think they can, but how about the run they're on? Like the run that Laren's on and the form that he's in and the goals he's scoring, but the club itself. And he's earning, you know, so many accolades and glowing praise from his manager, right?
Fantastic.
Fonda Eckert talking about his top character, but also like the work that he puts in on the pitch, like how impactful he is coming on as a sub or whether he's starting. And I think the type of football that he's playing at Southampton, like, I'm not sure if I make him a lock for Jesse Marsh's 11 on June 12th, but the type of football that he's playing is so easily translatable to Marsh ball, to how Canada plays. And that's terrific for this guy who's in a remarkable kind of run of form and is just playing brilliantly. So he's almost like the antithesis to all the injury talk and how we let off the pod. Like, there's this kind of shining beacon of light, and it's Kyle Laren.
I think it's a great point. And I don't think he has to steal a job as opposed to the other strikers outside John David, right? I mean, I know Tani Oluwaseyi was kind of the new guy in that position. But I think now, Jimmy, and you can agree or disagree here, I think Kyle, if it's not his job 100% right now, it's a lot easier for Jesse to put him in that spot than anyone else, because he knows him better perhaps than anyone else.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think we'd all agree with that. Just Kyle Larin, he's been around the program for so long now, and now he's in form at Southampton. Got an opportunity, real good chance of getting automatic promotion or maybe possibly going through the playoffs, just the way that they're playing it right now. But for me, I think he is, if it was today that we were playing the game, he'd be your starter. Mm-hmm. 100% he was. I don't think there'd be any argument with that.
Yeah.
Arabi and Pepple scored 2 more goals, by the way, this weekend, but he's one for the future more so. Hey, Craig, to steal, though, one of Dubsy's favourite sayings, what a redemption arc it would be, though, for Kyle Larin to not only get a starting spot for Canada, to not only, you know, earn this starting spot for Southampton, but to get promotion, to get a contract, and to play in the Premier League next year, considering where he was a year ago. No one would have foreseen that.
No, not at all. Like, it's just amazing that, you know, it just shows you that anybody on the fringes, if you keep going and you find the right balance, you find the right situation for yourself, things can turn around. I mean, Kyle's had a tough run of things, you know, going to the Dutch league and not really getting any playing time, not getting an opportunity, and then falling into Southampton, a side that was already doing pretty well. But then the form that he's picked up with this side and what he's done there is quite mind-blowing. It's spectacular, really, what he's done. He must be delighted with that. And with the opportunity with not just the World Cup, obviously, what you say about the potential of playing in the Premier League, it's just, it's been a while since we've had a Canadian in the Premier League.
I mean, he could have easily just said, you know what the hell, I'll go back to MLS, get a good paycheck, probably get some minutes. He could have done that. You know, numerous clubs would have been just, you know, salivating over getting Kyle Larin. He's done it before at that level. He chose, no, I'm going to bet on myself here. Give me a loan spell at Southampton, who at the time were having some issues, right? Big issues. And then to see this happen. So I think we're really happy. Good guy, Kyle Larin. So most of the Canadians are.
Yeah.
It's only one.
And Sharms, I want to say it's a 180 on the redemption arc. I think it's about a 165, right? Like, he hadn't been injured. So it's not like a full three, like on a 180, it's like exact opposite.
That's 180 there.
Yeah.
We're talking here.
Yeah, exactly. If you can watch us on YouTube, Sharms is demonstrating some really.
It's my new goal celebration, actually, which no one can figure out.
Oh, I like that.
Intertwined. Fingers, it's like,
I thought you were trying to figure out how to get them. I get the astronauts to the moon.
Actually, this is actually my move.
How do you actually get to the moon?
Why is there writing on your palm? It's so weird.
My name and my birthday.
Cheating on Footy Prime.
But you're like, Wonger, I'm thinking about when you, in your math in high school, and you have to plot like the points on the axis. Yeah. You're like in like the negative, like parabola, right?
Thank God for the English language, because math was not my forte.
Yeah. What? You will, kids. Joe comes home with her math homework, and it's been this way for about the last 6 years. I haven't got a fucking clue.
None.
I know.
None.
It's also new math, too. It's like the approach is completely different, and I'm just like, I don't know. I can't help you.
I get anxiety just looking at it, and my heart rate starts increasing because I have such a numerical dyslexia to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
having a panic thing. Attack.
Yeah. My dad was an engineer. So he would try and teach me with a slide rule how early fractions and functions. And I was like, I get it, kind of. He goes, don't. And he was a little angry sometimes. Yeah. You know, after that one whiskey. And you're like, I don't. He goes, of course I'll help you. And then about 3 minutes later, are you a disabled? Like, it was not always easy.
Disabled.
Wonger's math redemption ebb.
That's right.
Not an arc.
162.
That's why he's a podcast producer.
That's right.
But I mean, listen, other countries have issues too, right? The depth of Canada is their concern, right? It's not quite there with, say, Spain. But Lamine Yamal is out for who knows how long. They say he should be good for the World Cup, but it's a hamstring. Thankfully, he's 18 years of age, so he can recover pretty quickly. But this guy should and would be the face of the World Cup. I'm pretty confident. You know, he's going to be, if not the face, one of the faces, obviously. He might be the best player in world football right now. So if you're Spain right now, Craig, you're probably, I have looked at some of the Spanish media. They're pretty concerned right now.
Yeah.
They're golden boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously we're covering Canada and their injury problems, but it goes right across the board. And like I said, this time of the year is intense. And a lot of the top A++ players are going to be playing in big matches before the World Cup.
Well, we've got 47 more days or something, I think it is, to the World Cup. So there's still a while for us to stress and worry.
Yeah, there is.
My God. Yeah.
But you saw the celebrations of some of the, I just saw the highlights of the Barca players. And in their celebrations, they were, you know, we were talking about hand gestures earlier. They were doing stuff that was allegedly kind of to show their support of Lamine Yamal, which again leads me to believe that it's worse than the reporting it is.
Mm. The winning t-shirts, were they?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I hope not. You see t-shirts too often. Someone gets a little quad strain and they come out wearing the t-shirts.
Vote for Yamal.
No,
we miss you.
Yeah. Yamal for president. That would be great. It would be if a lot of goal scorers, strikers who are thinking about the celebrations and planning it. And you see that more and more now because of the way that we consume our media and our highlights, right? So whether it's on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, it's like these little clips. So you're looking for those moments of where you go viral. So all the guys or girls or people in world football who didn't get to unveil the t-shirt, you know what I mean? Like that sad walk back to the locker room and they're trying to hide the shirt underneath their kit, getting made fun of by their teammates.
Yeah. With all the prep.
Get on the pitch. Yeah. Why are you wearing the t-shirt?
With all the prep they had to go through. Hey, here's the design. Okay, is everyone okay with the design? Okay, everyone put the shirt on before. We got to hide it so he doesn't see it, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Dubs' slow walk back to the it's like that was a failure.
After they just lost 6-0.
Yeah, it's moth-bitten, there's holes in it. You've been wearing it for months, waiting for that freaking goal. It's just emblematic of how bad a striker you are, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, I just can't buy any.
Yeah, you wonder how many times guys have set up t-shirts like that. You see the ones and they pull it off, but how many times it doesn't happen? It's true. Go back to the dressing room.
Nona died 6 months ago. Now he's showing the t-shirt. Yeah.
You know, Sheffield Wednesday wouldn't be wearing any t-shirts.
No.
They haven't won a game in a
celebration
year.
Of life.
Yeah. Have you guys ever do the t-shirt thing for anyone?
No.
Never? Not once?
No.
What teams did you play on? Selfish teams.
What am I going to do as a goalkeeper? I'm going to start running around with my...
Yeah, I'm going to make a save.
I got 9 goals on me. For us.
That's right. Yeah, if I celebrated that would have been a bit off.
Yeah.
Hey, 9 goals. Sorry, one minute. No, speaking ahead. Of celebrations, we've got to talk about, before I forget, this whole Rochdale-York match in the Conference League this past weekend. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's incredible. So top two teams in the conference, both can win promotion on the final day. They meet each other. And Rochdale scored in injury time. And there's a pitch invasion. They go nuts. They've won promotion, right? Won promotion. But then they finally restart the game after the delay because of the pitch invasion. Back come York. They score the goal. They've gone through. It's one of the great, if not the great finishes. And just demonstrates, Craig, how incredible promotion relegation actually is and the theater it produced.
Yeah. And this is like lower divisions. I mean, it was like the passion of lower division football is exceptional. And the two pitch invasions were insane. Like they had to get everybody off the field. Looked as though that Rochdale were going to do it. And then what was it? The 104th minute or something like that. I'm not even sure the ball crosses the line, to be honest with you. You see the replay.
There's no VAR, right?
This is all VAR, yeah. So, hey, there you go, Charles. Is that your team? You'd be happy to. I want to see VAR. There is none. And then there's another pitch invasion, and then that all had to be cleared off. It was absolutely insane.
Yeah,
there's punches thrown, or all sorts going on.
It was wild. Do you know with Rochdale, their striker Ian Henderson, I used to play with at Norwich. He's still going strong. He's 41 years old.
I saw that. I was like, what is it? Yeah. Totally forgot about him.
Yeah. That's amazing. Unreal.
41.
Wait 41. A second. Isn't there an old man on our show who's going to go be playing as a TFC legend?
I know. Inspiration for you, Jimmy, for the
May 6th or 7th or 8th or something, Jimmy. What's the story there?
I don't know. I start breathing heavy thinking about it.
Jimmy started training last week. Isn't the game next week?
Yeah, it's what do I got? 2 weeks, maybe?
Yep, you got 2 weeks.
Well, 2 weeks. Just the Brazil legends you're playing, so you should be okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a jog today.
We were talking about that the
seriously, Forrest.
The names in this match they sold like 25,000 tickets, I think, already.
Yeah,
could be a lot of people there. And I mean, the names. I mean, okay, so TFC legends are great. So Jimmy's there, Jovinko's there, Stevie Caldwell's there, D Rose there. Who else? Jimmy?
I think Josie's coming back. Vasquez, Mata Guevara. Yeah.
Yeah, Guevara's going to be there. Like, it's going to be a good-looking TFC team. But then you look at the Brazil team. Ronaldinho, Adriano. I mean, it's like you name it, they're there. And these guys, as I mentioned, how they're probably all just horribly overweight. But as Jimmy reminded me, these guys play this type of thing all the time. Right? Yeah. And they play beach football. And these guys can still get around the pitch, I think. So what's the game plan, Jimmy?
I don't know. Look, we played them in the Confederation Cup.
About you, Jimmy.
And we drew 0-0, so they're not that good. So
I can spit my coffee out there, literally.
I don't know what all the hype's all about, but whatever. The thing is, for me, right? I retired from Toronto FC because I don't want to play no more. I'm done with playing. I have no interest. And the minute I go back to Toronto FC, they got me playing again.
Do you think they hired you knowing this is coming up? And like, let's get Brennan a job so he can play.
Yeah, get him in so he can play this damn game.
Yeah.
I'm fearful for you.
How much fun is that going to be?
What really? Do you mean you're fearful for me? Why?
Because there's nowhere to hide when you play out wide. When you play in the middle of the park like me, and I played in like the 7v7 games, the staff games at CF Montreal, you can kind of hide and you can let your kind of wily soccer IQ take over, like maybe a little burst of speed here and there, but mostly you can just kind of float. There's no floating for you if a ball is played into space. Like, get on your fucking bike, Jimmy.
Yeah.
If anybody can hide, Jimmy can.
that won't
we'll
be
find a way.
I'll be drifting inside everything.
Yeah.
Play the feet.
Who's coaching you, Jimmy? Who's your manager?
I'm not sure yet. I heard it was Robbo.
Really? Carl Robinson?
Carl Robinson, yeah.
He should be playing.
Andy Petrillo said that maybe Conway was coaching.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might end up coaching as well.
I think FIFA want me to play in this tournament out in Vancouver next week, and I got news for them.
First, come like, on, if I'm in net, can I vape?
Yeah. He's like, you want me to come out? Why? I don't even know why I'm going out. Yeah, they want you me to play. That's what they want me to do. Not a chance.
You can still, well, there is you can chance, still do it. Come on, Craig.
I'm going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about your golf game, right?
Oh. Yeah.
He can barely get through 18. I've golfed with him.
I can already, my shoulder's
your
killing
shoulder,
me.
Shoulder, I know.
Shoulder, but like, what am I thinking?
Ah, I love it. It's great. It means that the football season, the summer's here, right? Close enough. We've seen these games being played. So that's exciting. Let's stay with the TFC theme and MLS. So TFC fell to Atlanta 2-1. That's obviously the match. Richie got hurt in. Another late goal. Montreal, they beat New York City FC 1-0.
Yeah.
Another two back-to-back wins with a new coach. It's amazing the difference it makes, right? And that's no gimme. That's New York. They're a good team, Dubs.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, they needed to do something, right? Because things were looking pretty bleak in Montreal. And our friend of the show, Ollie Brett, on his podcast with Fred Law, who calls those games, Balado Plein Axe, it's called, if anybody wants
bless
to
you.
Check that out. Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy. It's a fabulous show, but Ollie used to work at the Academy for CF Montreal, like long, long time ago. Like he's been in the media for at least a decade. So when that Academy first started and like Wilfred Nancy was part of the Academy, like Philippe Dufroy was the director of the Academy. So he knows him very, very well. And like we talk about Wilfred Nancy and the way that he's like a teacher and what he wants to impart, the way he shepherds young players along. Like that was almost inspired by a guy like Philippe Dufroy. And he was let go with, around the pandemic, kind of cost cut, or at least it was pushed that way to the media. But this is a guy who understands the game, understands how to motivate. So there's like that balance of his tactical acumen with somebody who's a real motivator, who understands what the players need, but also what the club needs. So there's still a ton of stuff that needs to be shored up if you're the brass at CF Montreal. And obviously like all the bullshit that we talk about with Saputo and, you know, preferring Bologna and running the home club in Montreal into the ground. What, you know, Forrest, you've talked about this, right? What you suspect might be happening. Who knows if we can give that any credence, but at least now there's a little bit of belief if you're a fan, and there's a little bit of belief in that locker room, and that's exactly what they need. And as you said, Sharms, NYCFC, no slouches. You know, and then Prince Owusu, again, scoring, you know, like they're the big guys who are expected to perform are performing. And then you see more of a collective understanding of the type of football they want to play.
Meanwhile, Vancouver win again. Ho-hum. Three more goals.
Ho-hum. They're so good. They're fun to watch.
Brian White with a brace. Six goals in the season. He started, remember Craig, Brian White started off the season a little bit slowly? Not anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has to be on the radar for, I don't think he'll make the World Cup squad, but he's got caps for the States. He has to be like on the periphery, right?
Yeah. They're just playing fantastic football at the moment. They just got to get a new owner, sort that out.
27,000 fans, an amazing first goal. If you want to like Sabi Kubas and Mueller. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, this is great. Football. I don't say that often because I don't know when Mueller.
You got to figure out a way to make it work.
Kurt Mueller. Yeah. So, no, but 27,000. They have the entire. Does this make a difference to it, Craiger? What do you think about moving when you have all of this fan appreciation, supporters, media all saying please stay, and other MLS city saying we want football in Vancouver? Does it make a difference, or is this all about the bottom line and we'll see them in Vegas with, you know,
the Vegas Whitecaps?
Yes, the Vegas Grizzlies. Yeah,
the mountains, the snow-tipped mountains of around Las Vegas. Fuck me.
What do you think though? What is it? Does it make a difference?
I don't think it does. I would like to think they could bottle that up and make it work and monetize it and figure out a way to, you know, stay in Vancouver, because it's got to stay in Vancouver. But I worry about it, because at the bottom line is like how they financially make a go of it. And Kerfoot's been the owner for ages. And if he can't figure it out and he's losing 14, 15 million a year, I don't know what the answer is. Because I don't think it's coming from taxpayers' money. That's not happening. And they're talking about Vancouver and getting applying for maybe an MLB team. What the fuck? Get the fuck out of here. MLB. Come on. Keep the Whitecaps. Like, you got a winner there. They got to figure out a way. But I worry about it still. No.
If they think an MLB team is sustainable and there's enough private money in that city, then if you are that private money and you're considering, like, fuck off, throw the money where it should be, and that's behind the Whitecaps. You've been there for years, decades.
I believe.
Yeah.
It'd be as tragic a move as we've ever seen in sports if the Whitecaps left Vancouver.
I agree. Yeah. It's one of the great franchises in North American football.
Canada soccer, what? Can they play a role here? I mean, they've got no money. They can't afford to financially help. But what role could they play here?
Nothing.
They're very good at raising money right now. Mm-hmm. Better than ever before.
They need more private money to run a football club.
But for the good of the game in this country, which is under Canada Soccer's jurisdiction, the Caps have to stay.
Yeah,
yeah, but Canada soccer can't do anything. That's really not any of their business either. They've got nothing to do with it.
But I agree with you, Jimmy, but they have made it their business in Jesse Marsh being MLS men's national team coach. Mm-hmm. So there are links that are already established there. So it wouldn't be that far-fetched to say, if you're Kerfoot, like that you'd maybe be leaning on Kevin Blue a little bit to try to give you some backing and help.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I think I'm going to reach out to them and find out what they allow to do. I don't know how this works.
What are they, the CSA is going to go get $500,000?
Half a million? They need to get like $15 million to cover the gap.
Well, they need new stadium as well, don't they?
Really?
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Because right now they own nothing. They don't have any assets whatsoever. So that investor that's coming in wants assets. He's not going to spend money for nothing.
But is there a way to amplify this message?
By the franchise and move them.
Well, that's an ideal situation in working with the municipality and building the stadium. But the CSA is not getting involved in all that.
Okay, forget the CSA for a second there, but the world's eyes are going to be on these host cities during the World Cup. There's an opportunity to amplify this message during the World Cup. Get some eyeballs saying, listen, this is a legitimate football market. It has a great team that is being threatened here. Who knows whose interest is piqued? Maybe I'm being naive, but it couldn't hurt. I'm sure. I mean, David Ustedt's got that. He's behind the scenes very much. He's been that campaign. We should get
the petition.
At some point.
Yep.
Petition. Thank you.
I knew you were stumbling on that word.
Yeah. I know. It's a tough word. That
maybe they could do a whip around.
Hello.
See, we can raise some money here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen. Anyway, we've been down this line, but if Vancouver leaves, then what's the point?
Yeah.
It'd be sad.
It would be. Okay, let's move on. I want to get the NSL very soon, but CPL weekend, Jimmy. Supra won their first home game.
Yes. We've
got another home opener next weekend in Boreal. Is it Boreal? How do you call it? Boreal Stadium?
They weren't at Stade Boreal yet. They were still at Université de Montréal, Sepsum.
Right now they are, but next week I think it's Boreal, right?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying this recent victory.
Yeah, versus... No, the first official first home win was at what you just said there, which I can't pronounce. And Sepsum. Next week is Stade Boreal.
Sepsum, it's the space between your nose right here.
Sepsum. I thought that was a space between...
deviated sepsum.
Yeah, that's right.
The fans look pretty pumped, though. Hey? They're up for it.
Yep.
And then... Boreal have, I think, over almost 6,000 capacity. I bet they sell it out next weekend. It seems like they've really kind of embraced this that fan group.
Yes, I think there were people clamoring because, you know, I just talked about CF Montreal and the struggles there. And there was a faction of like the ultras for CF Montreal that jumped ship and went down south to support Vermont Green. And that was a story for a bit. And they're like, look, just desperate to support somebody else. So there's an appeal with the identity that this team has assumed, where they have a very on-brand Quebecois proud DNA and identity, and there are a lot of fans who are eager to jump on that bandwagon, and they're coming out, and this team is performing. So it's very encouraging for them, and they're going to keep coming out. And next weekend, you alluded to their home opener at Stade Boreal, so they'll have like a number of stops, as we've previously discussed. They'll be in Quebec City as well, and at Claude Robillard, where CS Saint Laurent had that Canadian championship run a couple years ago. Right, it was like an electric atmosphere. But this weekend, we'll see the Roses have their home debut on the Saturday, and then it'll be FC Supra on the Sunday. So quite the doubleheader up in Laval.
Hey Jimmy, I was watching the Atletico Vancouver match yesterday. Mm-hmm. Jimmy at one soccer there, and he was getting so angry with the way Ottawa are playing and trying to build out from the back. And it was, I mean, talk about a snail's pace, Jimmy.
Oh, God. It's so bad. It drives me crazy. They just slow the tempo down. Do you know what? I looked at their last match, right? Because I was like, okay, now how many passes have the back three had? They had over about 350 passes combined between them all.
Just lateral.
Just center back, the center back, the center. And then they go forward. And then you're like that. How many times, Sharms, when we were sitting there, watch, it's going to go back to the center back. And it's in right wing in the final third, and it goes midfielder, wide player, center back, center back, center back, forward, back, center back, center back. It was just so repetitive, and I was like, this is driving me mental. I don't understand. I just don't enjoy the way that they're playing right now. Don't enjoy it. As opposed to last year. Last year, they played in the counterattack, front foot. Everything was going forward. They had the leading goal scorer in Salter, 20-odd-something goals. Rodriguez had 12 goals, 10 assists. And now it's just a completely different brand of football that they're playing. And it's not fun to watch. I thought Vancouver was very good in the day. They went up 1-0, didn't they? I thought they were going to hold on. And then in the 90-plus-7, I think it was.
97th minute, I think it was.
97th minute. Then Ottawa ends up scoring to get a point out of the match. So, yeah, it was an interesting weekend as well. Pacific then ended up losing to Forge 1-0. They're still on 1 point. Vancouver's still on 1 point. Calvary drew. Who did they end up playing?
Calvary played, for Christ's sakes.
Can't remember who they played, but they ended up drawing. But Supra, I'm happy for Supra. I think you know their fan base is great, and the fans are right behind them. They're playing a decent brand of football. They just got to get those football lines off the pitch, and I think that's going to make a world of difference.
Yeah, they look legit, that's for sure. But it does seem once again it's a Cavalry Forge dynasty here, especially with Ottawa taking a step back so far. Although Santiago Lopez got his first start, which is one to watch. Took a penalty too. Missed it. Well, it was saved, Jimmy. But you weren't impressed that he was given the opportunity. Given that Lou Tabler is last year, I think, was 100% from the spot.
That's right, yeah. I mean, Tabler was normally the guy that always takes penalties for them.
Yeah.
And I think the wrong guy ended up taking the penalty, obviously. Irving made a great save.
Still 1-1 there. But interesting weekend in the CPL. The most interesting weekend, though, of the weekend was in the NSL. It kicks off its second season. Dubsy on the call. Now, Dubsy told us last time out, don't put it in the bank. Put all your money down on Ottawa. They're far the best team. First game, lose 3-1.
Yeah.
See, you got it all wrong.
Well, it's just one game into a 25-match season, Sharms. So I think there's still time because the foundation and the clarity about the way that they play, there's time to figure out with those two absences, those pillars deep in the midfield in Ellen Gibson and Desi Scott, they're gone. So that's big pieces missing in terms of how you're going to defend, but also how you're going to start your attack, but also leadership as well. So I think they're okay on the leadership front. There are other players who are come to the fore, Olivia Scott, Jaleesa Harris, two of the players there out of four who are named to share that captaincy. But the pieces that they added in the midfield are going to give them a little bit more mobility, a little bit more dynamic going forward. But they lost that battle in the midfield and they looked a little like they were struggling in transition particularly. But you have to give full credit to the Tides. The Tides are completely revamped, completely transformed. Stephen Hart was talking about last year strides that they were making in trying to play out, especially in possession, but you didn't have much pace going forward. And they had a real issue trying to get their lines and just numbers forward to develop sustained possession in the attacking third. And I just thought they looked brilliant. It was really well executed. And we're talking about great fans for FC Supra. I mean, out at Wanderers Grounds, I never got a chance to play there, but I've covered a number of matches there. I've assisted a bunch of matches, whether it's NSL or CPL, as a fan in the stands there. And there's nothing better. I think it's probably vies for one of the best stadiums. And I've been to a ton of matches at Stade Saputo. I think sight lines are tremendous there and atmosphere too, but just the vibes, the energy in that ground is I don't think there's anything in Canada that rivals it. And they got a chance to get their first win of the sophomore season. They only had 3 wins last year. So you could see like what it meant to them, to Hardy as the coach who let interim tags gone. He got a chance to kind of build his roster, doubling up of positions, but with not like for like. So it gives them some tactical flexibility and they delivered. And so those fans were, you know, I mean, they were just thrilled with it. So it was a great game to call and a huge result for Halifax.
Best part of the weekend, though, was they unveiled this NSL hotline commercial.
Yeah.
I love this thing with Diane Manson. It's freaking, it's one of the best marketing campaigns Canadian soccer's done, I think. It's just clever. It's so 80s cheese infomercial.
Mm-hmm.
We should call it. Have you called it?
Yes, we have, because you can actually call it and people are fielding the calls because it's going to either text or email. So you can leave a message and somebody will read it. It will get transcribed. You will get through to the brass at NSL. Yeah.
I thought it doesn't go straight to Deanna's house.
Imagine it goes straight to Dee's cell.
Hello.
The other thing is you get a fax for notification back. So everyone, they're bringing the fax back.
So it's if you don't know, it's 1-833 NSL Live. All right. So let's give it a call and see what happens. Someone leave a message.
And ask for Diana.
Welcome to the Northern Super League Hotline. It's me, league founder Diana Matheson. Here's what's coming up this week. Friday, April 24th, Vancouver Rise take on AFC Toronto at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Coverage starts with a pregame show at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on TSN. Watch TSN in Canada, ESPN Plus in the U.S. Saturday, April 25th, Halifax Tides face Ottawa Rapid at 1 p.m. Atlantic, 12 p.m. Eastern. Watch on CBC in Canada later that day on the 25th. Calgary Wild takes on Montreal Roses at 5 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Eastern. Watch on TSN and RDS in Canada, ESPN Plus in the U.S. Want the full schedule on your phone? Head to nsl.ca, follow the prompts on the homepage, and add it to your calendar so you never miss a match. Now, leave a message after the beep. We
want
to
hear.
Leave a message,
Trumps. Yeah. Hi, NSL. Hi, Diana. It's Footy Prime here. Congratulations on the best marketing campaign, at least since the jersey swap with Canada. We were hoping this would go straight to Diana's cell phone. So we recommend you do that so she can field all the calls every single day. And because she's doing nothing else right now, not very busy. But yeah, congratulations on week one of your second season of NSL football. It was fantastic. Bye.
I would like her to read out the table.
And then you need to update the message.
Yeah. The results of the video printer back in the day in England.
Yeah.
But there is something I'd like to point out, and this is where I think the NSL has gotten it completely right. You have to engage in the culture of what Canada needs, and that's sometimes taking the piss. And you can't be serious all the time. I'm not sure if I'm going to compare marketing from CPL to NSL. I think NSL is hitting it a little better, and I appreciate that effort they're putting in. And not to, you know, I'm not bashing anybody, but I think there's a level of, hey, we're going to engage in a fun way. This is dollars from your pocket, and we want everyone to be entertained. So are you not entertained? That was entertaining.
Are you not entertained?
Yes, exactly.
Very quickly, almost out of time. Olivia Smith scored for Arsenal in the Women's Champions League semi-finals first leg for Arsenal. Not great goalkeeping. Overall, actually, some pretty poor goalkeeping throughout the weekend.
Goals were quite poor that Arsenal scored. Yeah.
But yeah, she muscles goalkeeper off the ball and scores. What else? Oh, yeah. I want to quickly just talk about that Bayern Munich game. We did it on One Soccer on Saturday. Down 3-0 at halftime. I put $2 on the draw.
Oh, that's
it. And then I cashed out just in time. Bayern win 4-3. Bonzi plays 56 minutes. There's no more fun team to watch in world football than Bayern Munich. No, Jimmy can agree with that. And just, there's no other team that you can see a 3-0 scoreline really being nothing there. 3-0, we'll come back and score 4, right?
I like it, Charms. See, the passion's coming out now in you.
It's good football, Jimmy.
It's so good football, Charms, son. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh,
my God.
They were missing. And just so you know, that was Footy Picks brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Yes. Well, this is my parlay from Friday came through, Dubs.
Did it?
Arsenal won.
Yep.
Man City won, and Bayern won.
And we had a fireside chat pod dropped on Friday between Dubs and Sharms. If you haven't had a chance to listen, please do. There's some really great insights and personal stories shared. But even more, Dubs was talking on the dark web saying, hey, this is really good. So it's great that she's turning a new leaf and self-promoting.
It is. Unless, if you'd rather just hear me and Dubs.
That's right. Yeah. Right, we'll just, fans don't want that. But it was fun.
Every once in a while.
The Charms and Dubs show was fun. But yeah, fans really do like Jimmy and Krager in particular. And then it's the rest of us.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
Do they? Okay. Mm-hmm. Fine. Anything else you want to get to before we say
first? Oh, there was just our friend Flash Thompson threw out, because of that Italian match with all the fighting that looked like WWE. And the question. It was in Spain. I'm sorry. The question was, hey, Craig Forrest, have you ever had red mist like this where the goalie was going around slapping everybody and they were fighting? And Craig, what was your answer to that? Never that bad, I think.
Yeah, never quite that bad. Although when I grabbed that Leicester player by the lunch kit in a ruckus on the ground, and nobody saw that, but little more subtle than the goalkeeper getting a red card, thinking, well, I've already got a red card, I might as well punch the guy in the face.
You saw the moment where that was the actual thought, right?
Yeah, exactly. Fuck, I'm off. It. Okay, that's it. I'm running over and I'm going to punch him in the head.
Yeah, but Forrest, I would rather you punch me in my face and squeeze my nuts.
That's right. Mm.
Well, that's right. But if that was more, like if he ran over and he just gave him the old, hey, how are you, and grabbed his lunch kit, that would have, you know, been weird. But
punched the face and grabbed
in my case, I was on the ground and there was, you know, nobody could see, thankfully.
Did you take your glove off?
No. Are you kidding?
Was it that Craig's, Craig's divulging stuff right now. It wasn't ever a grab. It was a cuddle.
It was a prostate check.
I had his meat and two veg, man. It was like in the glove.
Was it? Did you move them kind of like, you know, those Chinese balls that they have? That you rotate your hand? Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a massage or a tickle.
You get a torsion. Be careful, right? If you did that, you could get a torsion.
You could,
which is apparently one of the most painful things for a man to endure.
Yeah.
Worse
yeah.
even than childbirth, which is highly overrated. Well,
the red mist came over him. He got sent off because he started throwing punches at everybody else. That was on the ground.
All right.
Just grabbing balls.
It's going to go. We're out of time. As mentioned earlier, check out our socials throughout the week. But Friday, we have some news, a little bit of a fun little drop. So that'll be on Friday. Make sure you check out wearefootyprime.com for all our content. Almost on a daily basis. Actually, a daily basis.
Yeah.
YouTube channel, like and subscribe. Leave us 5-star reviews. Leave us comments. We'll have a comment show very soon as well. So until then, have a great show, everyone. Great show. Have a great day, everyone. We're back tomorrow with Carl Becker of Forge, who is obviously battling testicular cancer. And it's going to be some story. It really is. So that will be on Tuesday's podcast. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. And we're out. Bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.
Peace. Yeah.